Today is Quinquagesima Sunday. There are a few announcements. There will be blessings of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will not be benediction this evening. No benediction today. On Monday, there will be Mass at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, and so that day there will be a high Mass at 9 a.m. and a low Mass at 7 p.m. Blessed ashes will be distributed after both Masses. For those who cannot assist at Mass on Ash Wednesday, blessed ashes will be distributed after Mass next Sunday. The Lenten fast and abstinence regulations begin on Ash Wednesday. See the information section of our liturgical calendar for the details of that, if you cannot remember them. Remember to fulfill your Easter duty by receiving Holy Communion between the first Sunday in Lent and Trinity Sunday. If it is necessary, you must go to confession beforehand. Lost and found items and dishes and cookware are in the conference room. You can pick them up after Mass. And there are some commemorations this week. Today is the commemoration of Saints Faustinus and Jovita. And on Wednesday is that of Saint Simeon. So Ash Wednesday, 9 a.m., 7 p.m. We have this magnificent epistle for today. Call it the Hymn of Charity. Please listen closely. St. Paul and the Holy Ghost tell us what it means to have love of God. So listen closely and see if you are possessed of this virtue. Remember that we are on the day of our particular judgment, the day of our death. We are not judged except by love, primarily. Obviously, we have to have faith. But we are judged primarily by love. First of all, if we are in the state of grace, that's love of God. If we are in the state of grace, then we are saved. But our degree of glory in heaven is also determined by how much we love God. Remember? Not by faith, not by anything except love. And so it is possible that a child, saint in heaven, let's let us say Saint Agnes, was about 12 years old, 13, when she was put to death. It's possible that she could have more glory in heaven than the great doctors of the church, Saint Augustine, Saint Thomas, because she may have had more love of God than they, even though they knew God so much. They knew so much about God. It's possible she could have a higher place in heaven. So listen closely and see if you are possessed of love of God. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see in this epistle for today that If we have charity, we think no evil. We are not angry. Now, when St. Paul says charity does not become angry, he's not talking about the passion of anger, but rather the sin of anger. Remember, passion is a good thing that's given to us by God, and anger is a passion. And so if we need to be angry and we are not, then we commit a sin. So he's saying that we must not be inordinately or unjustly angry. Our Lord and Savior became angry. Clearly, it cannot be a sin. It also says, charity is patient. Now, there are many kinds of patience. We must be patient with our neighbor. We will not explain that. Hopefully you know what it means to be patient with your neighbor. We must also be patient with ourselves. What do we mean by that? We mean that when we fall, when we make a mistake, when we commit a sin, if we are impatient with ourselves, it's because of pride. There's no reason to become upset if we make a mistake or even commit a sin. When we commit a sin, we should ask for mercy. Have humility. And thank God for the grace to be sorry for our sins. If we become impatient with ourselves, that's pride. We also need to be patient with God. We need to pray for God's help always. But when our prayer does not appear to be answered, in other words, when we fall, God, as you know, always gives us the grace we need. So we thank God for everything, even our falls, so that we can have a chance to ask for mercy. And also, God will see fit to answer our prayers in good time. We cannot tell you how many people we know who are discouraged because God does not answer their prayers. God knows when best to answer our petitions. We don't know when it's best for Him to answer us. He knows. There are many wonderful reasons why God does not answer our prayers when we think He should. Number one, if He hasn't answered our prayers yet, we will continue to pray, hopefully. If He answers our prayers, then we don't have a reason to beg Him. And many people stop praying even before their prayers are answered. How much more will they stop after their prayers are answered? Also, the more we ask, the more we beg God, greater reward we will have in heaven. And we can be very confident that our prayers will be answered if we continue to pray. And the reason is that we cannot persevere in prayer unless God gives us the grace to do so. And so when He continues to make us pray, that's a sign He's going to answer our prayers. So we should be very happy to continue begging Him. we know a man who used to come here to Mass. He and his family came to Mass every Sunday. And he used to pray that he would win the lottery. And when he did not win, he would speak to God in a blasphemous manner and tell God what a terrible mistake he made, how much he should know better than to deny his petition for money. Of course, that man and his family were greatly punished because of his blasphemy. He must be thinking that God should know better than to punish him. So continue your prayers, your petitions. Do not be impatient with God. Today, you can petition God to give you the ability to see. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. Lord, that I may see. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Also, his first prayer was answered immediately. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So, you see, his prayer, his petition to be able to see should be our prayer today, especially because if you and I are not yet saints, and we're looking around to see if we can spy any halos, and we cannot see any. So we are guessing there are no saints here. If we are not yet saints, then we have much greater need for this prayer than this blind man had. Because we are not yet saved. If we are saints, then we can be relatively certain of our salvation. And so, our salvation is in danger. To be relatively certain of our salvation, we need to have perfect love of God. Now, what do we mean by perfect love of God? We do not mean what we say when we commit, when we have the misfortune of committing a mortal sin, we tell everyone that they should immediately make an act of perfect contrition. And this includes an act of perfect love of God. Remember that? This means that we love God for his own sake, and that we are sorry for having offended him because of this love. Because he is all good, and he is worthy of all love. And this is why we are sorry for our sin. Because we have this perfect love of God. And of course, when we do this, our mortal sins are all forgiven immediately. Included in this, of course, is a resolution not to sin anymore. That's one of the reasons why some people do not make an act of perfect love of God immediately, because they don't want to make any resolution at that time not to sin anymore. And also, at that time, many people are not sorry they've committed the sin. And so, they find it difficult to make an act of perfect love of God. But God offers us the grace, the instant we commit a sin, he offers us the grace to make an act of perfect love of God. Now, when we say that we need perfect love of God so that we can be relatively certain of our salvation, we do not mean this act. We mean constant resolution to reject not only all of our mortal and venial sins, but even our imperfections. Constant resolution to reject our imperfections. To always do the most perfect thing. Now, this is not the same as what we have told you many times, that in order to be saved, it is necessary to at least desire to be more perfect. If anyone does not desire to be more perfect, that is a mortal sin. So that's the most basic necessity of being saved, a desire for perfection, to be more perfect than we are. We are saying it is a constant resolution to be perfect. If we always do what is more perfect, then we are saints. This is the resolution. If you make this resolution and you resolve to keep it constantly, then you can be very confident that God will save you. We know that we are not Protestants. And so we are not saved. Even St. Paul, they are not very scriptural, the Protestants who love the Bible, supposedly. Because St. Paul was not certain that he would be saved, remember? But he was confident because of his resolution. Now, to help us keep our resolution, we pray always, remember? The more we pray, the more perfect we will be. So to increase our love of God, we pray. Number one, prayer. Number two, receive the sacraments. This increases our love of God. Exponentially, when we receive the sacraments, especially with fervor. You come to Holy Communion, if you are fervent, if you have a great desire to love God more, then you will receive more grace, more love. Especially, not just these sacraments, but the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, because we are receiving God Himself. Blessed Trinity, God the Son, body, blood, soul, divinity, whole and entire. How perfect will that make us? And one last thing before we let you go, before we continue with the Mass. The saints tell us that it is very important for us. And this especially comes from the Council of Trent, one of the greatest councils ever, that we should make as often as possible spiritual communions throughout the day. And what is a spiritual communion? This is from St. Thomas Aquinas. It's an ardent desire to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and to embrace Him as if we have received Him. So good Catholics are what has been called by famous singer and songwriter, great pretenders. That's what good Catholics are, great pretenders. We pretend that we receive Holy Communion all day long. And this will give us perfect love of God. And God bless you.